2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want you to skip down to the end of the chapter. We're going to begin with the end in mind. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 18, where it says, "Now all of these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us." Now, before we really even get going here, I want you to look at the first half of like 18 and 19, because there's something here that if it doesn't like resonate and like kind of spark the fabric of all who we are, then this might be a boring 20 minutes or so. Look at it. All these things are from God. God reconciled us to himself through Christ. Not only that, he then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. All of our failure, all of our sin, all of our misjudgments and selfishness, God is not counting against us. He's not ignoring it. He's just, but that punishment has been dealt to Jesus. And through that process, he is indeed reconciling. He is restoring to favor all things unto himself. And that is remarkable. And that has to like set a fire in our hearts a little bit before we go any further. So let that do that for just a moment. And then, as we go further, will you marvel with me at what it says at the end of verse 19 into verse 20? It says that he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. If you have an outline, you can begin to fill in those words for emphasis. He has committed to us. That is, he has placed in us. Literally, he took this wonderful truth and stuck it in our hearts. He placed in us the word, the divine utterance, the actual God thought from the Father that is expressing itself in the Holy Spirit and in the activity of Jesus Christ. He has committed the word of reconciliation to us. So that thing that we find so marvelous, we are carrying. We're carrying it, right? Therefore, we are. Notice the verb tenses. God has committed. That act has been done completely. Therefore, we are. We are ambassadors. That is a done deal. This morning, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you are in relationship with God the Father and you are being guided by the Holy Spirit, you have something placed in you that will come to fruition in eternity that we will marvel and wonder at. We are ambassadors. That's an interesting word. Ambassadors. Trusted representatives. We are authorized to speak. We are empowered to act with kingdom motivation and power. We are literally, what it means there is we are on embassy. We are on embassy. It reinforces this idea of no longer do we go to the temple, now we are the temple. Right, when it says that we are foreigners or that we are sojourners, that we long for our homeland, that is the very, we are on embassy. Just like in an embassy in a foreign country, that real estate isn't the foreign country. It is the embassy for which the country that, so like if we have an American embassy in a foreign country, that real estate, that land, that building, that space is America. So all the rights and privileges and rules and luxuries of America are found therein. And what this is saying is that the truth and the power and the delight of reconciliation has been placed in us, and we are also ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So this morning, that's the one thing that I want you to leave here with, is the understanding of the opportunity that we are ambassadors. I was speaking with Sammy Marimi. Many of you heard him speak just a few, in between services, and this idea of embassy. He said, you know, when he went into the embassy when he was in Kenya, they made a way for him to be in America, right? Because of the activity of the embassy, he was welcomed into America. Realize this morning, as ambassadors, as those who are on embassy, we have the opportunity, we have to expend energy, to be active in welcoming people into the kingdom of God, right? We don't go to the temple, we are the temple. We are his kids. So not only is it a temple thing, it's a DNA thing. We have the very fabric of God in our soul and in all of who we are. So we are not home, right? The beginning of the chapter, that's where I want us to go. We're not home, but we're carrying home with us. Let's go to the very top of the chapter. We'll begin in verse 1, and then we'll kind of settle in verse 4. So 2 Corinthians 5, now in verse 1. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house that is not made with hands. No, instead it is God made, and it is eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house, right now, we groan. We long to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch having put it on, we will not be naked. For indeed, verse 4, if we are in this tent, we groan. We're being burdened because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. What is mortal will be swallowed up by life. What is mortal? That is anything subject to death. Anything that has its beginning and its end here on earth. The dust that we are and the dust of which we shall return. That is a reality here and now, right? It's a reality that we deal with. But there's also here in this phrase, life. That is the gift which comes from and is sustained by God himself, the very breath and blessing that he intimately shares with us. It says that we groan, that we're burdened. There's this pinballing thing that happens here between what is mortal in our lives and in our experiences and what is life, right? So, what we see on the mortal side is what we see in Psalms 146, verse 3. Psalm 146, verse 3, let me read it for you. It says, don't put your confidence in powerful people. There's no help for you there. When they breathe their last, when their mortality dries up, all their plans will die with them. But what we see over here is what we see in John chapter 1 and verse 4. Right? In him, that is in Jesus, was life. And that life, that Zoe life, was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. This morning, here's what I want us to see, that there is this groaning, there is this pinballing back and forth because there's so much of our world that matters to us now, right? Like we talked about, bodies, homes, legacy. There's all these things that really do, that they had this pull on our attention. But then there's also this wonderful yearning when we have tasted what the Lord has given to us in our lives. There's this longing for that permanent home. I mean, so we go back and forth and back and forth. And as ambassadors, I hope to steady that a little bit this morning. Better said, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit, as he speaks, will steady that back and forth with this thought. Hear me. Everything mortal has an expiration date. So there are a lot of things that we think are so grandiose and so important right now, but man, it's gonna die. Okay? And I'm not saying that we're gonna like throw that baby out with the bathwater. Sure, be healthy. Absolutely start a business. Do things here. But don't let that be all of your focus and attention, because that's only going to stay here. Right? George Burns glasses. Right? Or butterfly collars and in-belted sweaters. That was probably, I'm guessing at one point, a coveted commodity. Guys walking around, their hands in their in-belt. Check me out in my in-belted sweater. Muhammad Ali's right hook, at one time, very valuable, very treasured. Maybe even now we marvel at that moment, but that moment is gone. Right? 80s hair metal bands. Brayston. Thank God those are gone. Those are all dudes. I'm just saying, those are all dudes. The rotary phone, or the occupation of being an operator, gone. There's this pinballing, this matters, but folks, let me tell you, the light and life of Jesus Christ, it matters. Because here's the deal, spiritual maturity, it never goes out of style. The forgiveness that we learn from God and we implement into our relationships, that's effective now, just as effective as it was in 25 BC. Right? The patience that we have with our children now that give us moments of being a great father or a great mom, that same patience, it is forever. That same patience was equally potent in 1864. It's forever. And the reason why is because it is the fabric of God. It is the DNA of God. It is something that he did and then gave to us. And isn't that wonderful, right? Spiritual maturity will equip us for universal fruitfulness. Joy is joy whether you are in Mexico, America, Canada, or Japan. Generosity is generosity in Spain whether you can speak Spanish or not. It applies to all of us. Isn't that thrilling what God will do? Yes, there is this thing that calls for our attention. But there is a Lord and a light and a life. See, we can gather this and never gather this. But if we gather this, if we gather the honesty of God, if we gather the joy of God, if we gather the character of God, he will make this, he will use this, sorry, and make so much out of this. We are ambassadors. We are ambassadors. And what the first thing that means is that we value, we prioritize the character and the wholeness and the light and life of God. Yes. Right? Even in the things that are passing away. And that's what we see when we jump down to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. I'm going to read this in the Message Bible and I'll have it projected for you. Because it sums up this first thought so beautifully. Christ's love has the first and last word in everything that we do. So our firm decision is to work from this focused center. One man died for everyone, so that puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life, a resurrection life. a life far better than people ever lived on their own. We all need Jesus. That's just the truth of it. That's what I love about this particular, when it says that like one man died, that puts everyone in the same boat. We all need Jesus. He is the essential ingredient. His light and life is the essential ingredient for a rich life wherever we are in the spectrum of pinballing back and forth. We're all in this boat. And there's a ceiling. There's definitely a top to how much better we can make our lives when we are relying solely on our better, on our emphasis, or on our energy. When we begin to think about this, two things are happening here. We are beginning to be awakened to God's plan and God's purposes for our lives. Like when we read like Jeremiah and it says, you know, I know the plans for you, says the Lord, a plans for a hope and a future. How many times have we heard that scripture and been encouraged about our future before death? Do you see how limiting that is? God's got a plan for me. God's got a purpose for me. That's absolutely true. But it goes so much farther than our expiration date. It extends so much more than even our lives or our families, the people that, like, God has a plan and a purpose for you. You know what that plan and purpose is? Y'all ready? We already said it. You are ambassadors. You have been given the message of reconciliation. You've been given the absolute hope and truth that Jesus Christ does not count our sins against us. Y'all are not as excited as I am. If you are, you're not showing it. Okay, check it out. We are being awakened to God's plans and purposes in our lives. Second thing is, we are realizing how we esteem each other and how that is skewed. Right? We have this thing, because we build and because the term for perfect body could be, you know, subjective, we begin to wrestle with a confusion that God does not wrestle with. I'm going to say that again. We wrestle with a confusion that God does not wrestle with. See, we as a people or as individuals, definitely as a culture and a society, we will idolize, we'll desire the feats of the accomplished, or we'll shun and we'll distance ourselves from that which we consider disgraceful. Right? We make much of success and we condemn failure. Romans 2:11 tells us that God is no respecter of persons. He has no favorites. God's not confused. He doesn't wrestle with that. Right? Romans 8 tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are found in Christ Jesus. God doesn't play favorites. He doesn't condemn failures. He makes all things new. We are ambassadors. And in verse 16 in the message, this is how it concludes. Because of this decision, we do not evaluate people by what they have or how they look. In the New American Standard Version, it says, therefore. I love how Paul makes this like a declaration. Therefore, from now on, as ambassadors, we do not recognize anyone according to the flesh or by what he or she is in the flesh. We are ambassadors, and so we see God's plan and purpose in our lives and in our connectivity, right? Again, I said it before, we can place a value on things that may not be there and miss the value that absolutely is there. There's a value here. Is that value beauty? Is it awesome earrings? Great hair? We see that and we think something, and God sees that and God knows every single detail of her heart and soul and how all of it works together. There's a value here. What do you see? Bandana? Beard? The greatest rapper that ever lived? Is he a celebrity? Is he an artist? Is he a rebel? Is he all of those things? Perhaps. He is a heart that God is after. Ooh. There's value here. There's value here. There is a value here. Look at him, all professional. Be a businessman. We respect that suit and that haircut, don't we? But Steve Carell, I use that on purpose. It's funny because he's pretending to be a businessman. There's value here. Steve Buscemi. In your outline, God is not confused about what will decay and what will remain. Can we just say, praise God? Yes. He's so powerful and so good. And he's not confused. He's absolutely certain what will decay and what will remain. And all of his energy, all of his thought, all of his activity is forming what will remain. Look at James chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Again, I'll project it for you. James chapter 13 and 14. It says, now listen. Listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city. We're going to spend a year there and carry on business and we're going to make money. I mean, why? You don't know even, you do not know, I mean, I promise I can read. Why? You do not even know, you don't even know, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. I use this scripture to point out what it points out, that we will have plans. We will carry out accomplishment, right? Blessing. We'll do stuff. But that stuff lasts this long. All the really weighty good stuff that happens here is this long. And then 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 and 17. This is the chapter just before. So this is Paul setting up this whole idea that we're talking about. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And I know that there are times when we can relate our hurts and our woes and say, yes, this is true. They are momentary. They are light. But then there are also times when it's hard for us to reconcile that. We're like, God, I know what you say, that this is momentary, and this is, but man, this feels heavy. There are real hurts in our lives. I mean, real hurts. Cuts and blows, emotional and physical and relational. Throughout our lives, here's the reality. Here's the truth. God is making a masterpiece. His word promises us that. The work that he is doing is a masterpiece and he will complete it. So please find, let us all find our identity in the sculpture and not in the shavings. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Blessing or blow, God has this stone that he is working into a masterpiece. You think about the sculpture of David. There was a lot of cutting and blowing and just knocking things away with a chisel and a hammer. And all those extras that were removed, they're gone. But the sculpture, the masterpiece remains. So for yourself first, but for everyone that you come into contact with. May we interact with each other, not according to our flesh, not according to the shavings. May we interact with each other. May we reinforce in each other the sculpture that God is making in every story and in every narrative that sits here this morning. Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen. Finally, 2 Corinthians 5:20, in the last half of 5:20. This is where Paul says, "We beg of you, on behalf of Jesus Christ, be reconciled to God." The Lord has implanted in us the message of reconciliation, the divine utterance, the actual God thought expressing itself to the Holy Spirit. He has placed that in us. My encouragement to you here is to draw near to Him. Be reconciled to God. Here's the truth. And it's such an easy thing for pastors to say. You see how pastoral that was? Here's the truth, right? Here's the truth. But hear me. I don't know if there's a truer statement ever been uttered or lived, because it is the utterance in the life of Jesus Christ Himself. No one loves you like Jesus. No one loves you like Jesus. And I know, man, I know how, like, it's funny how this can even, like, work its way into our spiritual life. This whole pinballing, right? I need to make myself a great Christian, so I need to read God's Bible every day. I need to make something of myself. That's not sustainable. It's poor motivation. Right? No one loves you like Jesus. So when we open this up, we are simply reminded of a love that is beyond compare and lavished on us. I love that very thought and truth. That is a sustainable motivation. God, remind me again how much you love me. Remind me again how much you love me. Because that's going to start with us. We are reconciled to God. We experience the forgiveness of God. We experience the joy of God. We experience the encouragement of God. We experience the patience of God as it is poured on us despite circumstance. And then once we receive that, we are equipped. We are equipped then to dole it out. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him who knew no sin. God the Father made Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. To me, it's incredible. Every thought, every word, every action, every activity of God is for us. It's not like He has a thought or says something and it's wasted. Every bit of His being is creating for us a plan and a purpose and a future. And we are ambassadors. We carry that very word as we walk around. So check it out. Trying to figure out what order I want to do this in. Let's turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, we'll do this first. Yep. Matthew 18, we're going to begin in verse, I have 23 up there. We'll actually start in 21. Because 21 is where it says, Then Peter came and said to Him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? And then Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 77 times, or 70 times 7, excuse me. And then verse 23, for this reason, I love this story. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and his children and all that he had, so that repayment could be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience. Have patience with me, and I will repay everything." And the Lord of that slave felt compassion. And he released him and forgave him the debt. Verse 28. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay me back what you owe." And so his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me, I will repay you." But he was unwilling. I'm going to say that again. He was unwilling. And he went and he threw his fellow slave into prison until he should pay back what he was owed. He goes on to say, when they saw this, that they were deeply grieved, and they reported to the Lord all that happened, and the Lord summoned to him and corrected him. Verse 35 says, "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." We are ambassadors. I pray that the Lord will continue to work in us, and the last thing we will be is unwilling. Because check it out. Here's where we're going to land. When Jesus paid it all, when Jesus got on the cross and he paid it all, more than having compassion on us, which he did, more than being gracious toward us, which he was, more than forgiving us and forgetting it permanently, which he did, more than displaying a radical love for God the Father in his act of complete obedience, more than generously paving the way for us into right standing with God, more than all of those things that absolutely happened, he taught us compassion. He taught us to be gracious. He taught us to deeply forgive, and he taught us to be extravagantly generous. Christ Jesus reconciled all things unto himself, and then he gave us the gift of reconciliation. My friends, my family, we are ambassadors. Last spot on your outline, last thought. May we go to God in every circumstance. May we go to God in every circumstance so that we can give of God in any circumstance. Yeah. Amen. Last thought. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you consider God the Father your Father, you call him Papa, you call him Abba, he's yours, you are in relationship with him, hear me, you are a son or a daughter of the Most High King. That's who you are. Your home is in heaven. You are a sojourner and an ambassador. You are on embassy here with a message that has been placed in your heart by his hand itself. You are a son, you are a daughter. And you walk in dominion. You walk in the sovereignty of God. And we create space for others to join us. That's it. Jesus Christ created space for us, for all to be in relationship with God. And we, as ambassadors, those who are on embassy, we are sons and daughters of God who walk in dominion, creating space for others to join in.